Thank you, Heather. Let's open our Bibles tonight, please. The 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 34th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. I trust as you came into church tonight, the greeters and ushers were right on the ball, seeking to give you an outline for tonight. So I trust you got that. As I came in, they ganged up on me and tried to give me six, all right, outlines, of which I told them I already have my own, all right, and so I didn't need that necessarily, but I appreciate their faithfulness in getting those handed out to you. Our subject tonight, as you see from 2 Chronicles 34, really 29 through 33, is the subject of successful servants. You know, I think we live in a day and age when our country, our land, our culture is enamored with success stories. Everybody wants to hear stories of success. If that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't have the big circulation of all of the tabloid magazines, all of the interest from people in, you know, the lifestyles of the rich and the famous. And that just indicates the interest today in this subject of being successful. A few years ago, Eileen and I had the privilege to take a trip to Bentonville, Arkansas. If you recognize Bentonville, Arkansas, that's the home of Walmart. That's the home of Sam's Club. And we were able to go down there, and as we were there, we visited the Museum of Sam Walton. It's a very interesting museum, as really it takes the life of Sam Walton and really breaks it down into various decades by a period of 10 years here and 10 years here in his life. And it just maps out his life and how successful he has been and being the one who began the Walmart and the Sam's Club. And people are just interested in knowing the success of others. I think it behooves us to be successful or to be interested in the success of God's servants that are found in God's Word. I think we ought to just be interested in knowing what God has to say. And Josiah, king of Judah, is one of those success stories. If you know anything about Josiah, you'll know that according to 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1, he ascended to the throne when he was just 8 years old. He followed his grandfather, Manasseh. Manasseh was an evil and a wicked king up until the very last period of time in his life when he turned to the Lord. He was followed by his son, Amon. And Amon was a wicked and evil and wretched king. And then comes Josiah. And really the life of Josiah and his record of his reign and his rule is found in 2 Chronicles 34 and chapter 35. And I think we should be interested to just take some things out of the life of Josiah off of the pages of the Holy Scriptures and see what God would have for us tonight as we consider successful servants. I draw your attention to verse 29 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Then the king, that is Josiah, sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all of the abominations out of all of the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all of his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Let's take note tonight what happened in the life of Josiah that really caused him, that really made him to be one of the most successful servants of God recorded in all of the Holy Scriptures. I want to suggest to you that, first of all, that Josiah read the Scriptures. Josiah read the Word of God. When you look at verses 29 and 30, you understand that to be exactly true according to the Word of God. He read God's Word. And here's what happened. The Scriptures convicted him. When Josiah sent those to repair the temple, which was in disarray because of Manasseh and because of Ammon, when he sent those and sent money by way of Hilkiah, and they went into the temple and they found the Word of God, and they brought the Word of God to Josiah, and Josiah read it, and then the Bible tells us that he was convicted by the Scriptures. You know, folks, I think that's really one of the reasons why so many of us struggle with reading the Bible. The Bible brings conviction. God convicts us through the precious Word of God. And that's what happened in the life of Josiah. Go back to verse 18 of the same chapter, chapter 34, where it says this, "Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, and the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is written in this book." And so here we find the Scriptures convicting this king of Judah by the name of Josiah. Could I suggest to you tonight that it started this way? He heard the Word of God. They found the book. They brought it to Josiah. They read the Scriptures in the hearing of Josiah. This king, who now is 26 years old, according to the Word of God, ascended to the throne at the age of 8. Now, 18 years later, or in his 18th reign, he brings all of these reforms to the nation of Judah. He hears the word of the Lord and all that God does simply because he heard God's word. Here's what the Bible tells us, folks. The Word of God tells us that God loves us. Is that right? Sure it is. Well, you know John 3:16, don't you? Well, let's say it together, shall we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It says in 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This isn't new to us. We understand that the Word tells us that God loves us. But secondly, the Word troubles us that we are lost sinners. Amen. It's the Word of God. As we go out on 6:23, as we witness and testify for the Lord, as we seek to be used of God in witnessing to the lives of others, it is imperative for us to share the Word of God. We must be careful because it's the Word of God that troubled me. It's the Word of God that troubled you, so that we would recognize the fact that we are lost sinners. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So here we find out the Word tells us that God loves us. The Word troubles us that we are lost sinners. The Word teaches us that Christ died for us. Wow. God loves us, sent his Son to be the satisfaction or the propitiation for our sins. The Word of God troubles us that we're lost sinners on our way to a Christless eternity in hell. And then through the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God in our lives, teaches us that Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And fourthly, the word testifies to us that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Not a Savior, not one of the Saviors, but we believe here at Lantana Road Baptist Church that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. That's what the Bible teaches us. We read in John 14:6, Jesus said unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You notice the progression here? The word tells us that God loves us, troubles us that we are lost sinners, teaches us that Christ died for us, testifies to us that he's the only Savior, and the Word of God talks about believing on Jesus Christ for salvation. Believing on him, having a time in our life when we believe these truths that are revealed to us in God's precious word. So much that John 3:36 says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. And praise God for the precious word of God that he used in my life and he used in your life to bring us to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that by faith, we trusted, believed, accepted, and put our faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. It is simply because, folks, the Scripture convicts. God uses the Word of God. And so Josiah heard God's Word. Secondly, he was humbled by the Word of God. The Word of God humbled him. It says there in chapter 34 in the end of verse 19, it says that he tore his clothes. If you'll jump over and look at verse 27 where it says this, because your heart was tender, and you did humble yourself before God. He not only heard the word of God, but he was humbled by the word of God. A 26-year-old king of Judah, humbled because of hearing the word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And of course, I hope you remember the answer of Peter, right? To repent of your sins, to believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. So here's Josiah hearing the word of God. Here's Josiah humbled by the word of God. Here's Josiah as he hungered for the word of God. He had a hunger for God's word. He heard it. He wanted more of it. He wanted what God had for him. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, it says this, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Wow, a hunger for God's word. Remember the words of Peter over in 1 Peter 2:2? As newborn babes desire the sincere or the pure milk of God's word. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Is that true for us? And it gives us a burning desire in our life to hunger for the precious word of God. He heard it. He was humbled by the word of God. He hungered for the word of God, and he was honored by the Lord. God honored him, the Bible tells us in verses 26 through verse 28. And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have read, because your heart was tender, you did humble yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before him, did tear your clothes and weep before him, I have even heard you also saying, the Lord, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again, and God honored him. Simply a man of God who heard the word of God, was humbled by the word of God, hungered for the word of God. And then God tells us how he honored Josiah. All of the evil that was written that would come upon the southern kingdom of Judah, God would not bring it to pass in his day. God honored him. I remember always in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, where the end of that verse simply says this, they that honor God, God will honor. Oh, folks, I would just trust that we would take hold of that verse, that we'd understand what it is to honor the Lord in our life like King Josiah. And it all began with his relationship to the Word of God. So could I be so bold tonight to say simply to us, what is our relationship to God's Word? What is our relationship to the Scriptures? What is our relationship here on a daily basis in our lives? Do we hunger for it? Are we humbled by it? Do we allow the Word of God to work in and through our lives? Listen to some terrible statistics. 1/3 or less than 1/3 of professing Christians read it once a week. Wow. Less than 1/3 of professing Christians read the Bible once a week. Approximately 40% of deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers read the Bible 3 times a week. Most Christians have never in their lifetime read the Bible completely through, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. And many Christians have absolutely no plan in their life to have a daily devotional walk with God or family devotions. As a family, we need to learn from Josiah's success. He was a successful servant, and it started with his relationship with the Word of God. He was convicted by the Scriptures. He not only was convicted because of the Scriptures, but the Scriptures also compelled him. It compelled him. There in verses 29 and 30, when Josiah the king went into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, all the people, great and small, and on we go. Here it is. The Scriptures compelled him. What did it compel him to do? It compelled him to go to the temple. It compelled him to go to the house of God, according to verse 30. He was compelled. The Scriptures. My folks, let's be people of the Word of God. Let's be a church of the Word of God. Let's be Sunday school classes of the Word of God. Let's have our ministries all center around the Word of God. And when we have that daily relationship with the Word of God, folks, it ought to be translated into our feet, and we ought to win the battle of the sheets and get up Sunday morning and get ourselves in Sunday school and in church. And regardless who's playing on the television, my favorite team's the Green Bay Packers. And they were behind, by the way, all right? And there was no temptation to stay home and to see if they're going to mount a comeback or whatever. It makes no difference. We need to be in church. Now, I know you say, hey, Bob, listen, you're talking to the people that are here on Sunday night. And praise God that that is a conviction of your heart and God has moved in your life. But people of the Word of God find themselves in the house of God. His example, he set an example for us of being a man who went to the temple. And we ought to set examples for others that we are people who believe in the institution that God has raised up for our good and his glory. And it's the institution called the local church. And we ought to be faithful to the local church. That's Josiah's example. And often I think about our excuses for not going to church. Often the pastor will say something of being in the ministry that we've probably heard all of the excuses. And after 47 years, I think probably that was true. I don't know if there'd be a new excuse that I ever heard from people who are not attending church. It's interesting as I was thinking about that, that I came across 10 reasons, 10 reasons why not to wash. W-A-S-H. 10 reasons why you shouldn't wash. Would you like to hear them? Well, even if you wouldn't like to, you're going to. All right, here it is. Reason number one why you shouldn't wash. I was forced to as a child. My parents forced me to wash. Number two, people who make soap are only after your money. I want you to know that I wash on special occasions, like Christmas and Easter. You know, people who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everyone else. There are so many different kinds of soap. I can't decide which one is best. Number six, I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. Number seven, none of my friends wash. Now, I think that indicates a problem, all right, if none of your friends wash. Number eight, the bathroom was never warm enough in the winter or cool enough in the summer. Number nine, I'll start washing when I get older and dirtier. And number 10, I can't spare the time to wash. You know, as ridiculous as that list is, are the ridiculous reasons we often hear from people of why they can't be in church or why they're not in church. Josiah, the scriptures compelled him, and he went to the house of God. And secondly, not only to go to the house of God, but to give the word of God to others. Notice at the end of verse 30, where it says that says to him that he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. To give the word of God to others. And you know, folks, we can do that two different ways. We can do it publicly. That's what Josiah did, right? With all of the people, both small and great, the priests, the Levites, all of them, got them to the house of God, and the word of God was given to them publicly. And I'm so grateful at Lantana Road Baptist Church that when people come to public services here, that our intent and our desire and our goal and what we're committed to is to do what? Give them the word of God. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we want? Even the Hallelujah Festival, all right? Thank you, all right? Even the Hallelujah Festival. We're going to have just hundreds of kids here. But one of the places where they're going to stop outside, Lord willing, is to what? To hear the Word of God. To hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our purpose. And that was Josiah's purpose. He gave the word of God to others. He did it publicly, and we can do it publicly sometimes, but also we can do it privately. We can do it privately. You can get involved in Romans 6:23, Project 6:23. You can get involved in other ministries. You can just share with others in your neighborhood, in your family, those that you work with, and share the Word of God privately. The question is not whether we're doing it publicly or privately. The question is, are we doing it? Are we sharing the Word of God? It happened in the life of Josiah. So the Bible tells us for him to be successful, he read the scriptures. Secondly, he rededicated himself. Verses 31 and 32, and the king stood in his place. He made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, with all of his heart, all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. Wow, he rededicated himself. He did it this way, the Bible tells us. He made a covenant with God. He made a covenant. You know what a covenant is? A covenant is a promise, all right? He made a promise to the Lord, hearing the Word of God, hungering for the Word of God, being humbled by the Word of God, sharing the Word of God with others. Josiah himself made a covenant with the Lord. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 that you would walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called. A worthy walk of being called a Christian. A worthy walk of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Josiah setting an example for us right off of the pages of the Holy Word of God that he rededicated himself. How he did that is, he made a promise about his walk. A promise about his walk. The Bible tells us there to walk after the Lord to keep his commandments. It says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you understand what that verse says? If we walk where? If we walk in the light. In the light. So you find yourself right under a directional light bulb and you're in the light. And as long as I'm in the light, I can be in God's will. I can be in God's word. I can be all that. But as soon as I step out of the light, if we walk in the light, is that where we are? In our daily walk with the Lord, are we in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship one with another, being in the light of the precious Word of God? He made a promise about his walk. He made a promise about God's Word, the Word of God. He made these promises, the Bible tells us, with all of his heart, and with all of his soul. He entered into a covenant with God. He made a conscientious decision for the Lord Jesus Christ that he was going to walk in God's will. He's going to walk in God's word. That was the type of man that he was going to be. And I wonder, folks, have we made those types of covenants with God? Those types of promises with the Lord? To be in his word? To have a daily devotional life, to have a family devotion, a family altar time that we used to call it? Have we promised the Lord that we're going to be faithful to our local church and that we're going to serve the Lord together with one another as we walk in the light of the Word of God, keeping our promises that we have made to the Lord? He made a covenant with God, according to verse 31, and in verse 32, he made a commitment to others. He made a commitment to others in verse 32, all right? He caused all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And so he, Josiah, decides, I'll be faithful to a godly walk. I'll be faithful to my God. I've heard his word. I've read his word. His word has convicted me. I've been humbled by the word of God. I have a hunger for God's word. And now I'm making a decision in my life in relationship to the precious word of God that I will be faithful to God in my daily walk. But he also said that he'll be faithful to God's word. Faithful to God's word, faithful in his daily walk, rededicating himself to the things of God. Well, the Bible tells us that he read the scriptures. He rededicated himself. Thirdly, he removed sin. Look at the first part of verse 33. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all of the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all those who were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. Third thing he did is he removed sin, the Bible tells us. How did he do it? Well, the Bible tells us how he did it. First of all, he cleared the land of idols. He got rid of all of those idols in his life. And we know that anything that takes the place of God, that supplants God in our life, becomes an idol for us. All right? And so what Josiah did is he removed, first of all, out of the land, he cleared the land of idols. And then secondly, he cleansed the land of iniquity. Cleansed the land of that sin. There was a cleansing process. How did it start? It started with the word of God. Started with what he heard. It started with how God used it in his life and how he responded to the precious word of God. And now he is cleansing the land of all iniquity, the Bible tells us. Here's what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wow. Should we hear that again? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those are the first two verses. Now, verse 3. And let everyone who hath this hope in him purify himself. Wow. Is that your hope? Is that your hope? You're called a child of God. You believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, someday we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be like him forever and ever and ever. We thank God. We praise God for that. We rejoice in those wonderful truths. But the text doesn't stop there. And let everyone who has this hope in him purify himself, even as he, that is Jesus Christ, is pure. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And one of those steps is holiness, righteousness, and godliness. And that's the result of God's word working in and through our lives, teaching us, showing us that there are idols that need to be taken out of our life and how we need to turn from sin and be all that the Lord would have us to be. And my dear friends, when we dedicate ourselves, I want to tell you, there will be the removal of idols, and there will be the cleansing of iniquities in our lives. That's what happened to Josiah. Josiah, renowned as one of the most godly kings in the history of Israel, and specifically the southern kingdom of Judah. Number four, he required service. There in the end of verse 33, it simply says to them, it says to us, pertain to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel to serve. He required service. He consecrated, first of all, himself to the Lord. Oh, the word consecration, that's just a bigger sounding word than what? Dedication. He dedicated himself. He consecrated himself, first of all, to the Lord. And it all began when a high priest by the name of Hilkiah brought the word of God and read it in the hearing of King Josiah. And now we follow his life, and he comes to the place where he is requiring service, but not before, first of all, he consecrates himself to the Lord. Do you remember singing this song? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Is that true for us? Have we surrendered all to our Savior, the Lord Jesus? Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please him in all that I do. That was Josiah. He requires service, but first of all, he consecrated himself to the Lord, and then he caused others to serve the Lord. He caused others. His life had such an impact that others are going to serve the Lord because of him. Because of him. Husbands, do you hear that tonight? God used Josiah to have an impact in the lives of others to serve the Lord. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Bible teaches that maybe the husband is to be the spiritual leader of the house. Have I got that right? Spiritual leader of the house, spiritual leader of the marriage. Do I have that right? I hope I do. And so if that's true, God can use us as men to encourage our wives and to help our wives to be what? Active in the service of the Lord. But that's not what's happening in a lot of churches today. A lot of churches, the seats, the pews are filled with heartbroken wives whose husbands are not the spiritual leaders. The husbands are not having a daily time with the Lord. A husband, a father who's not leading their family in family devotions. A father who's not setting example of serving the Lord. And our lives will have an impact on others. Our lives will have an impact upon our wives, upon our children, and others that God brings into our life. They need to see in our lives, I trusted it so. There is joy in serving Jesus, isn't there? My. Joy in serving the Lord, being used of God in whatever capacity God allows us to do that. And we can be happy in the service of the King. My, to just serve the Lord. Let others see us happy in the service. And what a special joy God will bring into your life when your example is used in the life of someone else that helps them serve the Lord together with you. Wow. What a privilege. All of the years that Eileen and I were raising our three boys, it was pretty important for us to have them love the Lord and to serve the Lord. And although I'm so grateful what God has done in their lives, and I'm so thankful that we have three godly daughters-in-law, 13 grandchildren, of which seven of them have already come to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I'm just so grateful for all of that. But Eileen and I used to pray regularly for our kids, Lord, that you would just help them love you and serve you. And then we knew how important it was for that to be seen in our lives. For them to see that in the lives of their mom and their dad, of just being happy in the service of the King. Joy in serving the Lord together. And if God could just use that in any small way to make an impact upon the lives of our boys, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Had the privilege this morning to preach out of Pleasant Hill from Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And you know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Most all of us know that. But do you know verse 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The title of the message is Saved to Serve. That's why God saved us. He saved us so that we might serve him. And if our three boys could be here tonight, and you might ask them and say, is there any one phrase that you ever heard from your dad that really stuck with you all of these years? I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that they would say, we're saved to serve. Because that's what we are. God has saved us to serve him. And it begins with our relationship, like Josiah, with the Word of God. And then it went on from there. And he required service, even from others. And lastly, number five, he remained steadfast. End of verse 33. And all of his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. All of his days as king. He and the southern kingdom, the Bible tells us, followed the Lord all the rest of his days. They remained steadfast in their service for the Lord. Let me just share with you these three thoughts and then we'll be done. Number one, he continuously followed the Lord for the rest of his life, continuously following God. And I wrote down in my notes, what a legacy. What a legacy to leave behind, that he continuously followed the Lord. A few years ago, when God laid on my heart that maybe the time for full-time Christian service was nearing an end, there were a number of reasons for that. But when God laid that upon my heart and I announced to our church our retirement in a few months, I just kept praying to the Lord that he would help me to finish strong, that he'd help me to finish well. And wherever he would lead us, wherever he would take us, that there'd be opportunities for us to continue to serve the Lord all the days of our lives. And that's our desire. Our desire is to serve the Lord together with you. Serve together with others of like-mindedness, those of like precious faith, and to serve God. What a legacy we can leave to our family, to our friends, to others that know us. He continuously followed the Lord. B, he consistently followed the Lord. He did it consistently. I did, according to the Word of God. He was a man of God's Word. So he was consistent in his following of the Lord, according to God's Word. And I wrote down in my notes, what a love. What a love he had for the Word of God, that he wanted to be consistent in following the Lord. And thirdly, he constantly followed the Lord. It was a day-by-day renewal that Josiah had in his life. And I wrote in my notes, what a lesson for us. How did he do it? Day by day. Day by day. In the Word of God. Allowing God to mold him and to make him. Allowing the Word of God to change him. Allowing the Word of God to challenge him. Allowing the Word of God to be what God intended it to be in his life. And how it not only affected him and his life, but it affected the entire kingdom of the southern kingdom of Judah, of which Josiah is known and remembered as one of the most godly kings that ever lived. Josiah walked with the Lord daily. Josiah's will was conformed to God's word. And Josiah's witness was he walked with God for the rest of his life. Want to know something about being successful? Read 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. Allow God to use 2 Chronicles 34 and 35 in our lives to help us to see what it is in the life of Josiah that caused him to be a successful servant for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads tonight, shall we, Father?